Okay, this is audience participation time. A penny for your... So what are you thinking? I wonder if I took that microphone and walked around and walked up to you and said, what are you thinking right now? And some of you would be thinking, get that stupid thing out of my face. I know. Let me give you something to think about. Isn't that amazing? This is our theme. What do you see of our theme in this? What is Hebrews 10? See if you've been doing the memory work. Any of you, I challenge you to memorize Hebrews chapter 10, at least verses 24 and 25. Verse 24 says, and consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. What does that have to do with this picture, that symbol? Well, it's like, are you thinking about what can I say? What can I do in the life of this person, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, somebody here at church, someone who's in need, or maybe someone who doesn't really know that they're in need right now, but yet their life is just maybe a little bit chaotic? I want you to make sure that you have at least one of these for your home, maybe for the office. I hope, you know, Israel said, if you want to buy one of these, or if you want to take one, just take one. We want you to have it. But we paid $7 for them, but if you can give us $5, that'd be great. If you can give us nothing, that's okay. We want you to have this and to use this as a reminder. What do you want me to do in the life of these people, all these different people in my life? What should I say? What should I be thinking? How should I pray? And what should I do? This will be with you for a long, long time. And when you're done with it, you can put it in a yard sale. No. And somebody else can, what did they mean by that? Again, this was designed by Jordan Lee, and he's an amazing artist. And let's give him a hand for this. We're so blessed to have his talents in many, many ways. But I hope when you come in here, just be thinking, you know, what does God want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to say? What can I do? All the time. And for the next few weeks, we'll be thinking very seriously about that. I know Dan announced the birth, by the way, of our... of our grandson, of his son, he and Heidi's fourth son. And his name, some of you may have seen it on Facebook or whatever, but his name is Lincoln Monroe Plug. Two presidents, Lincoln Monroe Plug. You know, we choose different names, you know, for our kids. I know, as we'd always we wondered, they wouldn't tell us what it was, but I saw it first on my on the text message and with the picture that Dan sent. Just to say this, the name Monroe, the fifth president of the United States, that's a family part of Maryland's family heritage, and Maryland's that's her line, and her mother's maiden name was Monroe. So one of our kids one day came home and said, Mom, if Grandma hadn't changed her name, you'd be Marilyn Monroe. Ba-boom, boom. There you go. So you can covet me for who I married. So I was thinking, this business today, the question is, and you can take out your notes right now, the question this morning is, about our thoughts. What do you think? What do you think about people? What do you think about what's going on around the world? What do you think? A number of years ago, I was up in the northern boundary water areas of Minnesota, up in canoe country. Marilyn and I led a number of canoe trips in these beautiful, pristine, dark blue waters. Just so amazing. And before we headed out on our canoe trip, I was in one of the outfitter's shops. And I'm standing over in the corner. I heard a familiar voice. What is that? kind of a deep voice, kind of a radio or television voice, and I recognized that voice, and I peered around the corner, and I, sure enough, I saw the face of the Amazing Kreskin. Some of you may remember the Amazing Kreskin. He used to be on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He just amazed Johnny Carson. He was a mentalist, and he's actually still very active, I believe, today. Saw a video clip of him, and he's a mentalist. He says he's a mind reader. So I stood back in the back of the shop, and I wondered, I think I'm going to think something evil about him right now. See if he comes and calls me out on it. He never did. So much for that guy. But this morning, what do you think when it comes to people? What do you think? And what is it that feeds your thoughts and inspires you as to what to say or what to do?
When it's an insurance company, they call it Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Okay, now the purpose behind this, of course, is not to get you to go out and buy Liberty Mutual. But these are all pretty inspiring commercials, aren't you? Have you seen these? It starts out with one person who notices somebody else doing something for someone else, taking some responsibility. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's God's people who get our attention and inspire us to go say something to someone who needs an encouraging word or a challenging word or a prophetic word or a bit of instruction or a reminder. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's, as Lee prayed about today, sometimes it's that precious time in God's word. But God really cares about our thoughts, doesn't He? And this morning we're gonna talk about the very first word. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, just reminding us of these words. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 1191. And you can keep the Bible out. We'll be referring to a couple more times for some other verses that relate to this. Let me read. I'm just going to put it in its context by beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Talked about that last week, that holy place, by the blood of Jesus, through the veil, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain or the veil that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. Let us think about how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Father, as we consider these words today, as we think about these words, as we ponder them, as we personalize them, I pray that your Spirit, the one who inspired these words, authored these words, would prick our hearts, our souls, our minds, and change us. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word that the author to Hebrews used is a combination of two words. At the very root of what it means is think. Think. And it, by putting two words together, the two words that are there, it says, the point of this word, consider, is think about this very, very deeply. Make this a habit of your life. Make it a habit of your life. Take note of, perceive, look closely, think carefully, ponder, cogitate, pay attention, and understand what you're seeing. This last Wednesday night, I began our first of eight sessions of a class that I've taught for more than 20 years here at Calvary. We have lots and lots of parents from our church and from our school over the years that have come to this class that's simply called Parenting Adolescents or Parenting Teens. I know teenagers who know their parents are going get really scared that the parents are going to come home with a bunch of tricks as to how they can whoop their kids into shape. But that's not really what the class is about. But it is a class for parents to help them think about what they're doing. And in the first session, we show a video clip. Now this video clip, I was thinking about this the other day. This video clip was, I think, probably done in 1990. The hairstyles are totally, you know, they're weird, you know. More than 20 years ago. It's just kind of, it's strange. But all of this, what's going on in the clip is very, very real stuff. There's a father and two daughters that are in this video clip. And it's a very, very real clip. It is full of emotion, full of pain. It's a very real interview with each one of them individually. And the father is a buttoned-up, tight dad who just wants the best for his two girls. Now these girls would be probably in their mid to late 30s. I wonder what happened with them. The older daughter is a girl that has experienced a lot. And the stuff that she says in this video clip, you know, would cause, I'm sure, if there's any fallout from this class, if parents don't come back, it's because they see this girl and the things that she says and they go, oh my goodness, I can't waste a minute here. I'm not going to come to the class anymore. I'm going to stay home and just lock my daughter up or my son. It's kind of scary. The younger daughter, the microphone's put in front of her, and she says some really tough stuff as well. And she said, my parents have taken us to the shrink. And I think that they themselves want to become shrinks when it comes to us. But she said, my parents say, tell us what you want. Tell us what you want from us. And she says this, I don't want to tell them what I want. I want them to know what I want. I want them to understand what I want or what I'm after. I want them to understand me. The writer to Hebrews is saying, think about it. Do you see the people around you? Do you hear the people in your family? Do you know what makes them tick? Or do you have to just, do you have to grab them by the throat and say, listen to me? You wives or maybe husbands, it can go either way. You know, your spouse says to you, we never talk. And the response to that statement is, some of you are smart guys. What are we doing right now? Yeah, I know. Almost always, when somebody says, we never talk, The spouse that's now on the hot seat says, well, what do you want to talk about? Oh, no. Don't you listen to me as we go through life? You gave me this for a gift? I remember when, I hope my sister, let's see. My sister and her husband were first married. I think it was their first Christmas. He wanted to give her a nice gift. And he knew that she wanted to get in shape. So what does a thoughtful husband give his wife who wants to get in shape? Well, some would say, yeah, it was something like a gym membership, but instead he got her shorts in a tank top and new tennis shoes and a tennis racket. And man, I'll tell you, it was uphill from there all the way. She, as far as she was concerned, you're not listening to me, buddy. You're just not listening. Some of you are sitting there thinking, man, she's too sensitive. No. If he was listening, he would have known what she was really asking for somewhere along the line. Let us think. Let us ponder. Let's pay attention to what's going on so that we can really, you know, Jesus used to use this expression, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What do you see in the people around you? What do you hear? What makes them tick? You know, probably the expression, we are what we think. You know where that comes from? No, it didn't come from Sigmund Freud. You know, he died 73 years ago today. Heard that on television this morning. It didn't come from Sigmund Freud. It came from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Turn with me in your, please, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It's in the middle of your Bible. Page, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 648. Page 648. Proverbs chapter 23. Keep your hand in Hebrews 10. That'd be great to just use that as the fulcrum here, the focal point. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It says this. For he is the kind of man, verse 7, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Some translations actually translate this, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what he's really about. That's what makes him tick. Now, let's read it in its context. Verse 6. Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. For he's the kind of man who's always thinking. You see, as a man thinks in his heart, this is what he's really like. And this is what he's really like. On the outside, he says, eat and drink. But inside, his heart's not with you. He doesn't want to entertain you. He has no good intention for this food that he's put in front of you. No good intention. And then the writer of Proverbs says, you will vomit up. His heart's not with you. You'll vomit up the little that you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments on him. He's not with you. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. So when do you do your best thinking? When do you? I want you to think about this. So if you've got your notes right now, I want you to take your notes out right now. And this will be helpful for you. It's not going to be helpful for me. This is not going to be a test that you hand in. But you've got your notes right there. And under this first point, we are what we think. You can just answer this question. When do I do my best thinking? So when do you do your best thinking? Are you a morning person? Do you do your best thinking when you've got the whole day in front of you? You just kind of come alive. The sun starts to come up and, whoa, yes! You're just like, you know, just... Do you do your best thinking at night? You're an evening person. I mean, way into the evening. Do you do your best thinking in the middle of the night when you just all of a sudden wake up? Your mind is just cooking on something, and maybe you've got a notepad beside the bed, or you've got your you've got an electronic device, and you just start to enter. I don't want to forget this. Do you do your best thinking when you're hungry? Do you do your best thinking? Are you the sharpest then, or do you have to put a little bit of fuel in? When you're thirsty, or when you're hydrated. When do you do your best thinking? When you're alone? All alone? Or when you're on the road? And you're just driving down the road. Maybe when you're taking your walk. When are you at your best as far as your thinking is concerned? You know, we've all got different rhythms. When do you do your best thinking? This is an important part of this message, folks, because the writer of Scripture says, think about how we can make an impact in each other's lives. The challenge is not, by the way, the challenge, this is in God's Word here. These words are not just written for pastors. They're not just written for prophets. They're not just written for Sunday school teachers. They're not just written for the elders of the church. They're written for God's people who are paying attention to God's Word. And they're saying, it's really serious. Think, consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. All right, do you do your best thinking when you're agitated? Or very, very tranquil? Can you imagine? If you really needed to be quiet and peaceful, you're probably thinking, how can anybody think when they're firing questions at you? In a few weeks, October 3rd, it'll be the first presidential debate. And Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are going to stand in front of, hundreds of millions of people. And they're going to, you would have been nervous if I'd have taken that microphone and walked around and stuck it in your mouth. They're going to ask, under this great, great pressure, they're going to ask and throw curveballs at Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. When do you do your best thinking? Well, whenever it is, make sure you think. And at that time, you're thinking about, how can I have an impact? You know, we're also, the second point in this message is, we're often challenged to change our thinking. Maybe that's a little bit about what this message is about this morning. We're thought to change our thinking. Change your thinking about yourself. About yourself. You know, the Bible talks about this business of thinking. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, it says, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Are you ever tempted to think more highly of yourself than you ought to? I heard an athlete recently, someone just after a sport, just thinking pretty highly of himself. Just kind of, I think that was the best stuff out on the field today. No, it wasn't a professional athlete. No, it wasn't a teenager. It was just a little guy. Yeah, I'm hot stuff. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. There were a lot of other people on your team today. There are a lot of other people on your team. In fact, that's the context in which Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Don't think so highly of yourself. We're also to think about ourselves very young. We're challenged in how we think about ourselves when we think about other people. Remember that text? Both Matthew and Luke capture it. In Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, why are you so concerned about the speck in the eye of that person that's getting under your skin? You seem to be an expert, essentially, Jesus is saying, at confessing the sins of other people. You have a critical spirit. When you're not paying attention to the beam that's in your own eye. The beam that's in your own eye. We're talking about a huge difference, aren't we, between a speck and a beam? And the word, when Jesus said, you're not paying attention to it, it's the very same word that the writer to Hebrews uses when he says, consider, pay attention to how you're thinking about the people around you. Pay attention so you can say something or do something, an encouraging word, a challenging word, to help them as they move down this path. We're often challenged to change our thinking when it comes to the concerns and needs of other people. Change your thinking about what you see and get off their case and move forward. And we're to change our thinking about God's will in our lives. Change His will. Change our thinking about His will. So here's a serious thing for you to think about. And it relates to this as we consider how we can have an impact on each other. What do you think your legacy is going to be? Now this goes for our students, and it goes for everyone here. Men and women, young and old. What do you think your legacy is going to be? You know the word legacy? What are you going to leave behind? People toward the end of George W. Bush's presidency, they asked him, "Well, what do you want your legacy to be?" He said, "It's going to, you know, that's history's going to decide what my legacy was. Whether you're a president, whether you're a worker on the line, whether it's a neighbor or a parent, what's your legacy going to be? And what would you like it to be? What would you like to leave behind in the lives of other people that you're thinking about? What kind of difference would you like to make in the in my life, in the life of the people that you sit next to here in church, in the lives of people in your neighborhood? But more importantly than what kind of legacy would you like to leave is the question, what kind of legacy would God want you to leave in their life? Seriously, folks. What kind of legacy what kind of difference do you think God wants us to make in each other's lives? And every day is another fresh opportunity, another chapter in the life of someone else. We all have people in our minds and in our hearts. I asked the question, you'll see it in the back of your notes. Right down at the very bottom of the notes. Right down at the very bottom, on the back side. The back side of the notes. What do you think when you hear somebody say, "You're in our thoughts and prayers"? What do you think? Okay, are you thinking? What do you think? What's going on in your mind and heart when you hear somebody say, "You're in our thoughts and prayers"? Do you think, "Oh, that's nice"? Nice. Nice. Or do you think, cliche? You hear somebody on a newscast speaking to somebody, they've got to sign off. This person's in a horrible place. Their home's been destroyed by some natural disaster. Their house is full of mud from a hill that's washed down into their home. It's just absolutely full. And as the newscaster signs off after they had this interview about what are you thinking these days, they say, "Well, remember, you're in our thoughts and prayers." What do you think when you hear those words? Or what do you think when you hear a Christian say it? What do you think? And how is it with you? Sometimes some of you have gotten a text from me. You've sent me a message, and you've told me something about that's going on in your life, and you're in a tough place. And I've signed off with this word, praying. That's all, just praying. And maybe some of you have said, "I wonder if he really is." And that'd be okay. Believe me, that'd be okay if you thought that. We all have people in our minds and hearts. What is it we're doing? And how are those thoughts? And how are those thoughts actually, where are they going in terms of, where are they taking us? We all have thoughts about, and we all have people in our minds and hearts. So what are you thinking? What does God want you to be thinking? What will we be thinking? Make sure you grab a cup today. Make sure you keep that thing in front of you, whether you fill it with tea, ice water, hot water, coffee, cocoa, warm milk. Keep it in front of you and keep thinking. What do you want me to say, Lord? What should I say? What should I do? Where do I go from here? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the chance to open your word today and to think. Lord, you know the various things that have gone through our minds in the last half hour or so. You know what we've thought that we ought to think, and you know we've had noble thoughts and distracted thoughts, whatever. I pray, Lord, that you would prompt our thinking so that we would make a difference in the lives of the people around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.